This is Yusuf.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
The college episodes, right?
Yes. All of November, we are doing... It's not the family you're born with, but the family you build in college.
Yes. Where dysfunctional or what have you. They steal your family.
Exactly. I mean, it's the first time you're like living away from your parents and really building your own community as an adult. So
yeah,
it feels like appropriate, like Thanksgiving, November type of theme.
Yeah, totally. It's funny. One of my filmmaker instructors, he pulls like a Robin Williams type question to us. He said, "Why did you guys move out of your city, to seek education?" We were like, "We don't know." I mean, because we wanted to go to this type of. He said, "No, you guys left because you wanted a redefinition of yourselves through the eyes of the people around you." We're like, what? But it made sense because he said, okay, let me break it down. You know, if you are still in your hometown, in your city, if you, your childhood friends are like that, like you will always be known as, you know, the person, you know, that everyone's known since you were so-and-so. You were little. I remember back in the day, it's like when you go into a new city as an adult, that's how, you know, people around you are defining you as like the adult, the memory from you encountering these new people from adult on out, they can see you as such, not as, remember when you were 8 and we were still in ice cream, you know, it's like, so it's like a redefinition of yourself through the surrounding people that you meet in the city that you're in.
Right. Yes and no. My hometown had a population of 2,000 people. There was no college there. I mean, there was a college 30 miles away, but it didn't offer what I was studying. And there were no jobs for me once I graduated. So yes, leaving there allowed me to not be the awkward, skinny white chick that all of my like elementary high school people knew me as, but I kind of had to leave town in order to do what I wanted to do. So,
right. Which goes into the redefinition of just like, you know, cause you're like, you know, people are going to reference you from the time they meet you, you know, in the place you are. Like, I know Jennifer from LA moving in. Like, I can't connect with your like childhood because I know Genoa. I know LA Genoa. I don't know New York Genoa. I know LA Genoa.
LA Genoa is a lot nicer than New York Genoa.
And I'm glad I came in on the LA Genoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, you said the warm weather mellowed you out anyway, so there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't the warm weather. It was not having to walk down the sidewalk and like You, as a woman, when you're walking down the sidewalk, if there's like a man walking towards you, they sort of expect you to get out of their way. And it's just sort of a natural way that people walk towards each other. You know, there's always one person that sort of gives the right of way to the other person. And women tend to do that for men regardless. And at some point in New York, I was just like, no. I'm not moving. They can walk into me.
Exactly.
I got so fed up with always giving the right of way to people that weren't paying attention, especially if they were on their cell phones and like texting and walking. And I would just walk right into them. And that gave me great pleasure, but I also had lots of anger issues along with it. So now that I'm not walking around in LA, like the song says, I don't have those anger issues. Yeah, so
cool. That's, well, it's good to see this, the semi-Zen Genoa, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think not being around people as much made me less angry. So there you go.
Right.
But we're here not to talk about our life. We're here to talk about college and real genius.
Woo! Yes. Yes. Throwback. 1985. All right. So 85, real genius. August. It was a summer flick. So back in 1985, we were watching the number 5 for 5-1. Cheers. 460 minutes, 3. And we had this conversation about this lady, Murder, She Wrote, Family Ties 2, Cosby's Holding It Down, number 1. And it's interesting. So the song of, you know, this particular month, this particular year, is from a group that had that have a song on a soundtrack that we're about to review.
Oh wait, is it the song that plays in the credits?
It's the group, but it's not that song.
Oh, okay, okay.
All right, what do you want to guess the other one?
I can't think of their other song.
Has so many awesome songs. It'll shout, let it. I mean, that should be your theme. Yeah, that was good. These are the things I can do without. Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on, I love that song. I mean, they were a good band. They're still around. They're a good group.
Yeah, they're still around. My AC kicked on, and I don't know why it kicked on. Anyways.
So this film stars the one, the only, the Val Kilmer, Gabriel Jarrett, William Atherton, a.k.a. Richard Thornburg in Die Hard. I can't forget that. And some other people that, you know, you see in passing throughout the years.
But yeah, you know. So... This was Val Kilmer's second movie. His first movie was Top Secret.
Yeah.
Which is a hilarious, weird,
like spy espionage movie.
Yeah. And but I feel like Real Genius really elevated Val Kilmer, which allowed him to get like the part in Top Gun and so many other movies that came out in the 80s and early 90s with him, and sort of made him a nerdy girl's heartthrob.
True. Now the film is directed. Oh, sorry. The film is directed by Martha Coolidge, but I would like to give a little bit more emphasis to the writer, Neil Israel. So Neil Israel has been around for a minute. He's from New York. And it's funny when you go back and look at some of the, like, the behind the scenes people and, you know, what they worked on. You're surprised at how active like some of these directors or writers were. For instance, as far as directors, so he directed a Bachelor Party, Moving Violations. I remember that one. Moving Violations. But he wrote Bachelor Party, right? Real Genius, the Police Academy movies. He wrote Police Academy 1 through 6. And what else did he do? Oh, and Look Who's Talking To. So, and then after that, he directed television episodes or different series over the years. And yeah, he's been busy.
Right. Whereas I want to feature the director because it's a woman, and we don't always get a lot of, like, female directors shouldn't be in, like, shouldn't be strange, but it always shocks me when we have one. And so Martha Coolidge is also from the East Coast. She's from Connecticut. But she did some a few movies in the 80s. She did Valley Girl, which gave us Nicolas Cage. That was his, like, breakout. She did Introducing Dorothy Dandridge, which was a fantastic movie.
Yep.
And real genius. Valley Girl's a pretty great movie. it really captures the California 80s scene.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then, again, just like we were saying, the trend of directors back in the day that transitioned more towards television directing, that's what she has done. You know, like, she did, what, some Psych episodes, some CSI episodes.
Sex in the City.
Madam Secretary, huh? Angie Tribeca, I love that show. She's been doing the damn thing.
Yep. But we're here for the movie. So the movie has a couple themes. The biggest theme is a bunch of teenage geniuses are dealing with their abilities while developing a high-powered laser or a university project. So you have really nerdy teens that are socially awkward and trying to figure out how to live life on campus. Mm-hmm. And then you also, it was the 80s and Reagan and his folks were building Star Wars. And so you had a few different movies that were dealing with lasers and weapons. And this is one of those 80s movies.
Right. Yeah. So the film follows the main character, what was his name?
Mitch,
yes. Follows Mitch, right? And I think, is it the dean of the university, like, taps him to?
No, Professor Jerry Hathaway, who's just, like, the head of the science department.
Right, gotcha.
Who probably, like, he gets to recruit whoever he wants because he probably brings in a whole bunch of research money for the university. So the dean lets him do whatever he wants to do.
Right. But come to find out, he's tapped by the military, right? Because it's like, we want to make this laser. We don't know how to do it. It's like, what's a sweatshop way of getting this made without it being, like, traced to us? Oh, okay. You know what? Let's get some eggheads and, you know, maybe, like, have them work on it. And then when they perfect it, we'll just snatch it up and weaponize it and call it our own, you know, military. Yay. So that was kind of like the the motivation behind this laser project for the university.
I mean, sort of. I mean, so the university and all of the, like, pranks that are played throughout the movie is actually inspired by Caltech up in Pasadena, which is actually not too far away from what's the NASA building over there?
Oh, what, JPL?
Yeah, no. JPL.
You JPL?
Yeah. and so Caltech and JPL, NASA, do partner on projects together. So that's sort of what's happening in this movie, is that's what's what inspired the movie.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, like, Martha Coolidge, the director, and Neil Israel, the writer, in order to make this movie authentic, they spent a shit ton of time with people that do lasers, scientists, engineers, all of those people that would normally you would find in the lab working on this type of project. And so they actually changed a couple things in the film because it was becoming too realistic and they were worried that people could use their film in order to build real lasers. So they changed a couple things.
Yeah. Like I said, you could be authentic, but, you know, don't be authentic.
Right.
Yeah, because people are dumb and they, you know, do some stuff. yeah, so pretty much the bulk of the film revolves around Mitch kind of going to, you know, his first day, kind of getting acquainted with all kind of the colorful cast of characters that you're going to see throughout the movie. And you see this character that goes into the closet and like disappears, and that's like a mystery through most of the movie. Which is pretty funny. And then we see the Val Kilmer character. So imagine Val Kilmer's character if as like a young Jim Carrey, kind of like his energy is just so kind of like manic, and he like his one-liners, and he runs around, you know, he just, yeah, he's very like, you know, not crazy, but yeah, his energy level is almost like a Jim Carrey in this movie.
Like a hot Jim Carrey that doesn't make stupid faces or stupid body noises. It's more of that type of kinetic energy, but with better charisma.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah. So, trying to imagine people who have not seen this movie, imagine, you know, that kind of energy in this character, which is totally opposite from Mitch, who's very, you know, reserved and conservative, and you know parents are like, you know, very, you know, helicopterish.
Helicopter. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's still in his shell, you know, and it's a good juxtaposition from, you know, Mitch trying to be good and studying and, you know, in his books. And then, you know, the Val Kilmer character just like, you know, running around, you know. But did he make the ice? Did he do the ice?
He did.
Or was it the girl who did the ice? Who did the ice?
Oh, no, it wasn't. It was neither one of them. So one of the pranks that they play, which is actually something that really does happen at Caltech, they had basically the entire dorm floor and some stairs had a layer of ice on it, and people were ice skating, and it was one of the other engineers, it was the Asian dude.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And the ice like evaporates after so long into gas.
Yep. It skips the liquid state of water, and it goes right from ice to gas.
Right. So then we see that it's going to pay off later in the movie. But it's like, this is a setup. So yeah, we see that, and now we just get an idea of how, you know, how smart and innovative these, you know, these kids are, right? And then we have like the academic, like the rivalry in the form of Kent, who's like this tall, braces.
Well, it's your typical 80s bad guy. It's the tall, blonde, white dude, which, okay, for all the like the Gen X females out there that grew up watching 80s movies where every single movie has a bad guy as a tall, blonde, white dude, why have any of us ever dated a blonde guy? A tall, blonde guy is beyond me, because if we've learned anything from 80s movies is that they're bad guys. Sorry, blonde. Blonde dudes out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it's the I know it's a challenge, but I can reform him. I can change him. Therefore, that's my challenge. I could turn Johnny good. Right. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, challenge accepted. So yeah, you're right. You know, all time. Yeah, it is funny. You could kind of date that back. Just like I said, go back to the Johnny character from Karate Kid, mostly all if it's 80s movies, he was the douche, right?
Yep.
And, you know, you had Kent in this movie. You have even in Die Hard, you know, the tall Austrian dude, you know?
I think 80s movies and their tall blonde white dudes as the bad guy, 100%.
I would say one of the movies that subverted the douchebags was Weird Science, because you had Robert Downey Jr. and his friend. They were the douchebags that was trying to get them to make a girl for him.
Right. Good point.
But that's like one out of, I don't know how many.
Right.
So like I said, we have this whole dynamic going on. We get the colorful cast of misfits, you know, studying and, you know, trying to crack the code of the laser. And Mitch is so just laser focused on trying to get this laser, you know, problem cracked. At the same time, like the Val Kilmer character is more kind of like floating through the days. Like he's super smart, but it's, he just prefer to just chill out, party, whatever.
Find out why, and that for like his first 3 years of college, he was super straight laced, super nerdy, never partied, never let loose. And then he realized that that was the only thing in his life, and it wasn't bringing him joy. So, and he learned that from the guy that hides in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, if you keep pushing yourself, you're eventually going to burn out, and then you won't be able to do the things that actually make you happy. So you need to find a release before you just break.
Exactly. Yep. And then at the same time, the Val Kilmer character gets some news from the head of the science department saying, like, if you don't pass, you know.
No, he said, I'm not going to pass you because you haven't built me my laser.
All right.
Even if you ace the test, you're not going to pass. Mm-hmm. And so he does, and he's not going to get the job that the professor promised that he would get him.
Right.
So he does pass the test, and they eventually end up making the laser. And then the professor steals it and they take it off to the military base. And this is where the final act in the movie comes into play.
Right. So once the A team of the university nerds find out, they're like, okay, this is what we have to do. We have to go to the base. We have to change the guidance chip. Okay. Like we got an idea. So we need to get in there, get into that laser, change the guidance chip. Or the target lock chip or target chip, one of the two. So this is kind of like their mission. Huh?
Right. So the coordinates were different.
Yeah,
where the laser was going to be hitting.
Right.
Because the military was running like a test to see if it would actually work. And they set up some cars in the middle of the desert to see if they could hit one person in the car.
Right. So they achieved, you know, the swapping of the, you know, targeting chip, whatever. And they go to the dean's or the head of science department's house while the head of science department was at the military testing kind of site, right? Yeah, because it was like it's funny watching this again, the whole drone. I mean, were there drones back in the day in the 80s?
Based on this movie, yes.
Okay. I was like, damn, drones are old. I don't know if that was just like for like, hey, this is how advanced we are, even though this is not out yet. Yeah, so we had like someone in a chair kind of guiding the plane with the laser on it. So then they go to the dean's of science, the science department. We don't really know what they're actually doing, but they're like, they're putting in like, what they have, like a U-Haul truck, and they were putting boxes in the house.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of have an idea of what they're doing because early in the movie, we hear the professor say, I hate popcorn, get that away from me. And then, yeah, we just see them taking all of these boxes into the house. But then we get into the camera cuts into the house and we see a giant tinfoil type of pan. Mm-hmm. So imagine those the
Jiffy. Popcorn. Yeah.
But it fills the entire living room. Yes. And so they're basically making a house size popcorn extravaganza. And if you look at the fun facts on the movie, it was almost $2 million worth of popcorn.
That's awesome.
I mean, and it took them 3 months to pop it all.
Ah, that's crazy. Wow. Yeah,
like going 24/7 for 3 months to pop all of that popcorn. Can you imagine going to the studio and saying, so we're going to have this house explode with popcorn? And they're like, okay.
Yeah. Like, do you mean like just getting like some styrofoam that looks like popcorn? And then we just kind of, wow.
No, they used real popcorn. And it wasn't special effects. It was all like real visual effects. So they really popped the popcorn. They really did fill this house with popcorn. They actually only did the second floor because they had so many like conveyor belts and air things to make the popcorn move around.
Right.
So it was only the second floor of the house that was popped.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Oh, and another fun fact. So, do you know this movie was the first movie to be promoted on the internet?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, a week before this movie opened, promoters set up a press conference at a computer store in Westwood, California. Coolidge and members of the cast appeared to field questions from press from across the country, connected via CompuServe. Remember CompuServe? Though the experience was evidently marred by technical problems, of course, the event marked the debut of what became the online round table junket. Wow.
That's crazy.
So yeah, this movie was just, you know, breaking barriers left and right.
Wow. But yeah, so basically, like, all the nerds are playing a practical joke on their professor, really getting back at him for him selling their laser to the military, and they destroy his house with popcorn. And
yay. Yes, the brainiacs overcame. Yeah, so this is Revenge of the Nerds, except it's a family. For families. This is like a family-friendly Revenge of the Nerds.
Well, but it's also... So it's one of the few 80s movies where when I go back and watch it... I mean, there is bullying, but they get back at the bullies.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have, like, a positive, like, don't give in to bullies, don't fight them, you get even with them, but you do it in your own way.
Yep.
They have, like, the female engineer in the movie. They're never sexist towards her, saying that you can't do this. They recognize her skill set.
Exactly.
And encourage her to do what she's going to do in order to help them.
Yeah, she was part of the group.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, there's, like, a party scene where they invite all the women from the cosmetology school. But they never really, like... I mean, yeah, they're sexy and everything, but they're never really mean to them or rapey towards them, which is what you see in a lot of other 80s movies. Yeah. So I feel like...
Yeah,
and agree. It is. It's a family-friendly movie.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, it's not one of those 80s PG movies where a random pair of boobs will pop up on you. I mean, it's a PG movie. It's like... It's safe.
Right. And it's not a PG, 80s PG movie where you go back and you go, oh, yeesh.
Yeah.
This is like racist, sexist, rapey.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing this film doesn't have any of those things in it for being an 80s movie.
Yeah, no, it was very straight laced. Also, this film was produced by Brian Grazer.
And remind us who that is.
So Brian Grazer and Ron Howard got together to do Imagine Entertainment, their production company. So pretty much everything Ron Howard does is under Imagine Entertainment, and Brian Grazer is like his producer partner.
There There you go.
The more you know. Cool. All right. So what's the rating system? Our college or our university?
Right. So ass on the sofa. It's good to watch. Putting on your shoes. Not sure. Or running out in the street and avoiding all of your studying.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely, ass on the couch for me. I mean, it's like, how can you not like this movie? Like you said, like, it checked all the boxes of just a real solid, rewatchable 80s film.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you can watch it on Stars if you have Stars, either on like Amazon Prime Stars or Hulu Stars. I thought I hadn't watched it recently, but based on my Hulu viewing history, I had watched it recently. I think I watch this every few months and don't even realize it. Because it is it's a fun movie. It's PG. It's good. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Val Kilmer's hot in it.
Yeah, you definitely get peak Val in this movie. Yeah, just charisma spilling all over the place in this movie, like with him. Yeah, that was good stuff. So there you have it, guys. Real Genius. If you have not seen this film yet, I'm sure there's younger people that's listening that's under 40. definitely check it out. It's a good movie to watch. It's fun.
Both Jen and Matt haven't seen this.
It's true.
So apparently, even if you're not over 40, just go watch the movie.
Yeah, just watch it. Just watch the damn movie.
And at the 11 minute and 57, 58 mark, there's a quick cameo of Tom Hanks.
Yeah, see? It's Tom Hanks in this movie for a split second. so check it out. Another fun 80s film that, unanimously, people who seen this movie, like, I've never talked to someone who's seen this film that was like, oh God, that movie sucks. Like, everyone is like kind of unanimous. Like, yeah, I remember that being a good one. I remember like that one being fun. I remember the popcorn scene. I thought that was really cool. It was like, no one ever like have anything bad to say about this movie. It was well executed. So there you have it, guys. Real Genius. And we're prepping for Thanksgiving week, and we got some movies slated for you guys for the turkey week. So stay tuned. Until then, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear a mask.
Yes. Peace.